Contact Matt Cooper on 1-850-715-100 or text 53102.
To many people, in vitro fertilization or assisted reproduction has been absolutely wonderful. It has given them the chance to have children that otherwise they would not have had. Given many fathers the opportunities with the mother of the child to bring up the children. But then in other circumstances has allowed donors to be used to give sperm or give eggs in a situation where one of the couple is unable to contribute to the production of a child. But not everybody thinks the idea is a good thing. And the Iona Institute is having a special talk tonight, bringing in an author from America called Elizabeth Marquardt, who is with us now. Hello to you, Elizabeth.
Hello.
You have written about the revolution in parenthood and you're not approving of all IVF. Why not?
We have a number of things happening in this world right now. We have, first of all, a generation of young adults who are themselves donor offspring. That is, they had sperm donor fathers who are coming of age in the UK, in the US, Australia. And they are speaking out and saying quite often that their sperm donor, in some sense, is half of who they are. They say they look in the mirror to understand who they are, where they come from, and half of themselves is just a big blank. At the same time that these young people who were generally conceived by heterosexual married parents or conceived in that setting, at the same time that these young people are coming of age, we also have an active debate about civil unions and marriages for same-sex people in a number of countries in the West. And so we have a confluence right now of both a demand for a new constituency to begin using these technologies and also the voices of those who have been created from that technology speaking out.
Let's take a step back to the first point you make. Doesn't that seem very similar to what happens in cases of adoption? So would you be against adoption as well?
Absolutely not. And adoption and donor conception are fundamentally different things. It's a matter of the intentionality of it. In donor conception, before a child is even conceived, the adults gather and say, it matters to us whether we have a genetic relationship to this offspring, but that child's genetic relationship to an absent father or mother should not matter to the child. Adoption is very different. Adoption says, we have a child already here who, for whatever reason, has a mother and father who cannot or should not raise the child, and this child needs a home. Totally different matter.
But isn't the most important thing the loving environment in which a child grows up? And can it not be the case that, yes, natural parents may or may not, as often happens, provide that environment for children, but it could be that a couple that goes to the extent of IVF and all the money that costs and all the emotional difficulties it can often cost, that they're going to provide that loving home from the child, and that's what's important.
Love matters, but also identity and loss. And what donor-conceived young people are often telling us, and more research needs to be done on this, definitely, but what they're often telling us is that, certainly I love the parents who raised me, I don't want to hurt their feelings, but when I need to know who I am and where I come from and where I belong, and not only can I not get those questions answered, but people tell me that I am ungrateful and unkind to my parents simply for wanting to know.
So what's the logical conclusion of that? Are you going to say to these people, well, you might have been better off if you'd never been born in the first place?
Of course not. We don't say to somebody who was born out of a rape, oh, you shouldn't have been born in the first place. You're here. Where they're here, they're human beings. We celebrate their life. But we should also learn from their example when we look to the next generation, because what's happening now is that sperm donor conception especially is a very low-tech procedure. There's a lot more coming right around the corner.
But does that now also imply that you're saying, okay, you're here, we accept you're here, you can get on with your lives, but we don't want more people like you? That we don't want further generations of IVF-assisted reproduction children?
We certainly don't want to increase the norm of fathers or mothers not raising the children who they conceive. What we have, it's my concern is not specifically only about IVF and the relatively small number of offspring coming out of that, although that number is significant and growing, but it's the message that it sends. When we have a woman by herself or two women by themselves raising a child conceived with a sperm donor, it's not just that child's needs I'm concerned about. I'm also concerned about what other young people coming along, the message they're getting about whether fatherhood matters, whether marriage matters. A young guy who gets a girl pregnant and grew up down the street from a lesbian couple raising a boy, he's going to say, what if he says, well, why does a dad matter to a kid? Everyone says that this child is just fine down the street. Why should I do the hard thing and stick around, marry this girl, be a good dad to this child?
What if the gay couple is married, as is allowed in many countries, may in the future be allowed here in Ireland?
Well, they're still absent their father or mother, and I think that...
But if this commitment is there, because aren't you making an assumption that almost by definition, just because a father and a mother are present, that they are going to be loving parents? There are so many examples where that clearly ain't the case.
I don't know if you got my bio, but my research is on divorce. I spent most of my time in my career so far studying the lives of children of divorce. That's actually why I'm here today in many reasons, because the children of every other alternative family form in which they lack their mother and father in their home routinely do worse in social and economic circumstances and routinely tell us that that loss mattered in their lives. I'm not convinced that the children of gays and lesbians are any different just because their children are gay and lesbian or their parents are gay and lesbian. Now, granted, I'm sure they love their parents, and I don't think gay and lesbian parents are any better or worse at this than the rest of us. But I think that there are certain aspects of life that we cannot deny, and one is that all of us come to this earth from a father and a mother, from an act of sex, whether it's in a bed or assisted by a clinic, in which a man and a woman become a father and a mother. And when we look at ourselves, when we look at our bodies to try to figure out in part why we're here and where we come from, we want to know who made us. We want to know about our father and mother. These things matter.
You have many childless couples who have gone through IVF, and it has happened for them using the egg and the sperm from that couple, and that has been a success to them. But you have so many other couples here in Ireland who have received sperm donations or egg donations from elsewhere. Do you disagree with their choice?
Well, I'm an equal opportunity discriminator, I suppose. I'm concerned about donor conception when anybody uses it, gay or straight, married or single.
And if they do it, and if they provide a loving environment for those children
adopt
and bring them
child.
Up well?
Adopt a child.
And no circumstances could the IVF be good? Because I'm sure there's many people who are listening to this who've been through the IVF procedure.
I have.
Who've done this and who probably feel very offended to hear somebody
say... I'm sorry
say,
that they do. I feel I have great sympathy for people who are struggling with fertility issues. I have two children that I've been blessed with, and I'm very conscious of that. At the same time, many of these people who are using these technologies now, I read what they have to say on message boards. They have no idea what the grown generation of offspring are already saying. They're not availing themselves of that knowledge. And sometimes when they already have the child, and the child, you know, especially lesbian women and single women especially, they have children, the child turns three, and they start saying, who's my daddy? Where's my daddy? And they're always shocked that this happens, where if they had cracked open a book or asked around a little bit before they did this, they would discover this is what children do. This need to know where we come from and to be connected to the people who made us is hardwired in us. It's part of the human condition that goes much deeper than some of the kind of, you know, new family forms that we've come up with since 1962.
You're lecturing at the Montclair Hotel in Dublin, I believe, tonight, part of the Iona Institute presentation. Elizabeth Markarch, thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you very much.